You are listening to Ask Miss K. My name is Nokuhle Khumalo and I'll be your host for today. Thank you so much for tuning in and I hope you enjoy.
So I just had a random thought and I was just thinking, like, I think if past lives are a thing, I think my dad must have been a career coach or like a keynote speaker or something along those lines, because sometimes the nuggets of information that guy parts on me leave me like shocked, and it's like, how did he know that? And I don't know if it's like the daddy's girl in me that's, you know, overhyping some of the conversations I have with my dad, but I think he's so smart and so well calculated and so well spoken, and he thinks things through. And even though my dad is not a chartered accountant, obviously, well, I think he must have been, you know. Actually, my dad always says, yo, he wishes he could have done it, and a part of me is always like, hey, well, but we do have old black CA, so why weren't you? But also, I know that's a very tense question to ask, especially with like our country's history and everything. But my dad was a school teacher, primary school teacher, but mainly a principal. I think he went into education just because it's like one of the three things you could become as a black person, you know. If it's not a teacher, nurse, or a police person, then okay, what else are you going to do? But I mean, there are people who were lawyers, there are people who were doctors and all that, but I'm just saying the easiest careers to get into back then were those three. So my dad chose teaching.
You are listening to Ask Miss K.
Anyways, what I'm saying is, though, I just think, like, even though he was a principal or in education, it always fascinates me how much he can part career knowledge to me, who's in a completely different path. And it's like quite solid. And sometimes it's like, wow, yes, I really appreciate that because I didn't see it like that. But also that just goes to show how unfair life was, the fact that people were actually limited in their choices, because I think my dad would have made a terrific financial something. I don't want to say CA because I don't know if he would have liked that, but definitely something in finance. But also my dad's very creative, so he could have probably also been like a mechanic or an artist or whatever. Hey, that's not the point of this podcast. The point is, I just had a conversation with my dad. And he sent me this article about how the government thinks they need chartered accountants to sort of fix the country. And they're saying they need to find a way to make it attractive for chartered accountants to enter into, you know, government entities or whatever. Because apparently currently only 3% of qualified CAs actually go into government. Which I'm like, I'm not surprised, you know, because when my dad says me these things, he's always like, yeah, maybe you should consider doing this, or maybe you should, you know, have a look at it. And I remember there was this time when I was still doing my articles, just before I qualified, my dad sent me this article about how they needed a chartered accountant to be CEO of some company, and the salary is like 3 million or something. And it trended on Twitter. And I mean, we all laughed about it. But then my dad sent it to me. He's like, I think you should apply. And I was like, hey, bro. And then he's like, no, I think you should apply. I was like, bro, like, don't get dizzy over the numbers. He's like, no, I think you should apply. Like, you'll be good. I was like, no. Because when you work for government as a chartered accountant, it's usually considered career suicide. So, you know, I was telling my dad that. And then he's like, no, we need you guys to help. And I was like, nah, bruh, nah, not doing that. And then, you know, I even explained to him why I didn't want to work in Pietermaritzburg, because obviously the company I work for has offices all over the country and the world. So my dad was like, why can't you come and work in Pietermaritzburg or Durban? And I was like, no, thank you, because I don't want to audit your friends. And if you guys don't know, my dad is little Mr. Popular. Actually, my whole family, it's like my family has a bit of a contest of who's more popular than who, because I thought my dad was popular But I also think I'm also kind of popular. But then when I'm with my brother, I realize he's also quite popular. And then wait until you're with my little brother. He also knows literally everyone or is known by everyone. And then wait until you get sick and then you realize that my mom is also actually quite popular. So at this point, I think if family I'm your get popular. And if anyone has any connections in the Mzansi Magic, please tell them to email me because I think we need a reality show. I'm kidding. Actually, but I'm not kidding, you know. Sometimes I want to speak these things out into the universe because maybe, just maybe, someone's listening. I just don't know if my family would be keen on that. They're quite private, you know. We're a very public family that's very private. Don't know if that makes sense. Okay. Hey, I just want to apologize, you guys. I'm busy editing and I can hear myself panting and breathing heavily. I just want to say COVID did a number on me, but we move. I'm sorry. The point of what I was saying is my dad has been very influential in my life, especially my career. And sometimes I just wonder what my trajectory would have been like had my dad not been what he was like. Obviously, I don't want to make it seem like everything I do, everything I've done is because of my dad. Like, I'd also like to give myself some credit, you know. There's also some natural talent, also some hard work. But I definitely do believe that there is a portion of me that has been tremendously blessed to have my dad. Because, like, sometimes he sees things before I see them. And I don't want to say that's an obvious thing. I don't want to say that, oh, it's just because he's an adult. Because I've seen other people's parents, and I know other parents do not do that. But it also makes me wonder, like, how many other people have not reached their true potential because they didn't really necessarily have the support that could have pushed them to that additional level, to that next level. And it makes me wonder, like, as a parent, what type of preparation are you doing for your children? What type of upskilling are you doing for yourself just to make sure that one day when your kids start asking big questions, you actually have something solid to say? And I think as the next parents, because I know people are having babies now. Oh, my word. Also, I'm so broody these days. You know that AI tool? I think it's Remini, where you create that baby. Oh my word, Avengi Broody. Like, I have created a baby every single day and I'm so excited. I literally even posted on Twitter. I was like, oh my word, my little princess or something like that, because it just looked so good and it made me realize that I really cannot wait to be a mother. But for now, I just need to make sure my money makes sense. So, you know, if you see me grinding, if you see me pushing, if you see me releasing content, if you see me doing things, you know, please like and, you know, rate the podcast or whatever you do, whatever social media you're entertaining or engaging with this content through. Like, please boost me. I'm trying to make money for my kids here. And if I don't have money, I don't want to make kids. So, you know.
You are listening to Ask Miss K.
Anyways, so I'm just thinking, like, what type of preparation are we doing as a generation to make sure that we're ready for our kids? Granted, things change, okay? Like, I don't think my parents can give me advice on AI. I don't think my parents can actually give me solid information about, I don't know, like, social media. Like, I don't think my dad could give me a strategy on how to grow my Instagram. But there are basic things, principles that stay the same where he can advise me. So I think we really need to look into that and, like, also realize that parenting is not just a, oh, I fell pregnant, so I'm kind of having the kid. It must be very intentional. And even if it wasn't planned, even if you did fall pregnant by mistake, I think, like, the preparation, as much as you guys are having baby showers and you're buying the clothes, you're doing this, you're doing that, also make sure that you're also mentally preparing yourself for this child. You're mentally upskilling yourself to make sure that you can create the best human possible. And the best human possible isn't the best in the world. It's just to make sure that you are giving your child the best opportunities that they could ever come across based on what you have. And we know life is different. We know we have different, like, capabilities, different financial standings and all of that. But for what you have, did you try? Did you give it your all? And that's really what counts. And, like, I just want to recall a story that it's not a story to me because it was actually my life. But what happened to me was, to those who knew me when I was young, obviously when I was growing up, and when I was still going by the name Sngo, because Noguhle is my professional name, guys. Literally, when people call me Sngo, I'm like, yep, this person knows me from Pietermaritzburg, because that was just my name. But back then, I was head prefect at my high school. I went to Pietermaritzburg Girls High School, and I was the first black head prefect. And, you know, for the longest time, I actually didn't like saying that, or I was too shy to say that because I felt like, oh my gosh, maybe I'm not. And also, I think I'd said it once, and then I think it was a white person. I don't know if it was the principal or someone, but it was a white person kind of told me, no, you're not. We've had a black person, and then they referred to some person who had some black heritage, like very far, you know. It was like a mixed race type. Nah, it wasn't even a colored person, but it was basically they were trying to make it seem like, no, we didn't wait until so late to have a black person, which they did. And, you know, to be quite honest, they shouldn't have. And I think that's also why I didn't like wearing that title of being the first black head prefect, because I was like, as much as I am the first, I shouldn't have been. Like, people way before me should have been head prefects. Like, if you went to my school, you would have remembered people like Zabam Velase, Usbahle. Like, there were so many people. Actually, Usbahle is a creator as well. Usbahle Mkize, check her out on YouTube. She's currently in, I think she's somewhere in Asia, China, I'm not sure. But she's also quite an upcoming YouTuber. So shout out. Anyways, when I think of people like that, I'm always like, you know, those people had the qualities I had, if not more, but they still didn't get a chance to be head prefect. They were made like deputies. And that's the thing that, like, kicks me. It's like, oh my word, this person did everything that they could have. Oh, and Lisa Mahlaba, of course. But I'm just saying, Uguti, sometimes luck is just not on your side, or in this case, apartheid and all of that, our country's history. But I just, you know, finally want to say I was the first black head prefect, because it did eventually only happen with me. But anyways, as the first black head prefect, we had this induction where the old head prefect was going to take off her badge and kind of hand it over to me. It's like an official ceremony. It's a big thing. They get nice flowers. Our parents are invited. Like, it's a prize giving, actually, I think. So super exciting times. And guys, like, to become head prefect, it was a goal of mine. I had it in my diary from when I was in grade 8. And I remember when I was head prefect, of course, I, like, wrote a speech and I referred to that. I said it was my goal to be head prefect. And I don't know if people know, but when you have a speech in front of the school, the principal kind of reads through it before, and then they make corrections. And at the time, my principal liked making a lot of corrections to my things. There was a time where, she corrected me. She said, I can't say that becoming head prefect was a goal, because then other people are going to put it on their goals, and then it's not achievable, because becoming head prefect, like, requires so many things, and a goal must be achievable. Sharp, she was doing LO on me, smart goals. But I was like, all right, I hear you, but it still was on my goal list. Like, I'm not lying, it's a fact. But anyways, I removed it from the speech, because I was trying to be, you know, palatable as a black head prefect.
You are listening to Ask Miss K.
And then there was another speech which she edited. I think it was actually my last speech, where I was now going to hand over my badge. And in the speech I had written in Zulu a bit, there was a part where I was thanking my parents because I was like thanking people for supporting me. And there's a portion where I thanked my parents and I wrote it in Zulu. And she told me, no, you need to write this in English. You need to be inclusive. Everyone in the hall must be able to hear you. Wada wada wada. She said a lot of things, and then I said to her, no, but the thing is, when I don't speak to my parents in English, and that's just a rule at home. Obviously, the older we got, the less strict my parents got, because, I mean, we know Zulu, like, we are very fluent in isiZulu. But when we were younger, my parents were very strict about us only speaking isiZulu in the house, and I appreciate that, because it was to make sure that we actually knew our mother tongue, and we spoke it fluently. So, you know, my little brother always asks me, what do you dream in, isiZulu or English? And I say, it depends. It literally depends on the dream. Even when I think, sometimes I think in English, sometimes I think in isiZulu. It just depends on whatever I'm doing. Obviously, when I'm at work, I think in English because I studied in English and I got lectures in English. But when I'm doing other things, or when I'm telling stories, or when I'm with my people, I think in isiZulu because I'm about to speak isiZulu. Anyways, back to the Thanksgiving, the prize giving rather. I was like, yo, but I want to say it in isiZulu because my parents and I only converse in isiZulu, and if I say it in English, they might not like hear it properly. And obviously, I said it in a nice way to not make it seem like my parents didn't understand English, because my parents do understand English. My parents are working individuals. My mom, yeah. My dad, yeah. They are definitely qualified. They know English, but I wanted to say it in isiZulu because that's just how I spoke to my parents. She said no. So I was obviously upset. And I was probably very upset because there was a time when I spoke to actually my accounting teacher, I think. And I told her, I was like, no, actually it might have been my English teacher. Yes, I think it was my English teacher. But I told her, I'm actually upset. She's like, what's happening? I'm like, nah, never mind. She's like, no, talk to me. I'm like, this is what happened. And then this teacher said, and I don't know, guys, English teachers are usually one of, actually language teachers, English and isiZulu teachers are very key teachers in your life because you spend a lot of time listening to their life stories, and they're usually more counselors than just language teachers. Anyways, my English teacher, oh, she was also my home class teacher, told me, well, she didn't tell me, she's like, I'm not saying anything, but just remember that this is your last speech, and you are handing over. And after that assembly, you technically will not be head prefect anymore. So what's the worst that could happen? And then she's like, but I'm not saying anything. I'm just asking. And I was like, you're onto something. So, okay, I told my principal, I'm going to change it. Thanks. She approved my speech. That was the only change she wanted to be made. And then when I got up there on prize giving, I definitely said, Ma, Baba, ngiyabonga kakhulu, or whatever. And I said it in isiZulu because I was speaking to my parents. And if people did not understand what I was saying, then it's okay. I wasn't talking to them anyways. But honestly, in South Africa and in KZN, for you to not understand Ma, Baba, ngiyabonga, those are such basic things. Then honestly, the problem is not mine. The problem is with you. Anyways, I said my Zulu part, and I saw my parents, like, you know, the pride on their faces. And my parents are not very, like, expressive people. I remember I once confronted my mom. I was like, bro, I think this was like in grade 10. I was top 10 academics or whatever, and I'd been pushing for it, guys. That's the thing, I'm such a pusher, I always push, okay? And I'd been top 20 grade 8 and 9, then finally grade 10 I got into top 10. So I showed my mom my report, and she was like, okay, sis, ah, bruh, that, like, literally made me crazy. I was like, bro, why don't you ever say congratulations or you're proud, you know? And then I also put the same stunt with my dad when I finished what did I finish? I think it was my first degree at UCT. I was like, guys, you guys actually don't say you're proud to my face. Instead, like, you imply it. Or when people say, yo, you guys must be so proud of Sngomo, then you guys say, oh, yes, we are. But you guys never initiate it. So my parents, you know, are not very expressive. But we've had multiple conversations. So, and I understand why they do what they do. yeah, actually, you know, guys, growing up is funny. But I appreciate where I'm at right now, because I'm at a point where my parents and I are more friends than dictator and follower. It's a nice conversation. It flows. We talk. We're adults. I realize that parents don't always know what they're doing. They're trying their best. And they also realize that kids are also just trying their best. And right now I'm like a fully fledged adult. Okay. It's the now we're no longer in the teaching phase. We're now in the sit back and watch me do my thing phase. So I appreciate where I'm at. And if you're younger, or if you're still in the dictator and follower phase, it's okay. Like, hang in there. It does get better. Yo, I have so many part stories when I'm telling a story. Back to me becoming head prefect. Anyways, what I wanted to say was my dad has been very influential, and my dad sees things before they happen, and I'm just glad that my dad speaks to me and he reasons with me. Because what happened was, when I became head prefect, my school, my principal kind of like made me remember that, like, they're taking a chance on me. And actually, the way she announced to me that I was head prefect was a bit off. You know, now that I'm old, I can actually say it, because the way she said it was, she actually pissed me off, bruh. We got called down to her office, and it was like the six of us, because there's a top six in our school. It's a head prefect and the two deputies, then a head border prefect and two deputies. And basically what this lady said, we all got there, six of us. She greeted all of us, and then she said to me, like, she looked at me, she's like, you, I don't know you. Your face doesn't look familiar. Your name doesn't look familiar, but clearly everyone else knows you, and clearly you've been doing a lot because your track record speaks for itself. And by this she meant, like, academically I was strong, sports wise I participated in a lot of things. I might have not been the best, but I did a lot of things. Culturally, I also did quite a lot of things. Choir, played the violin, like, I did things. Not the best, but I did it. And socially, a lot of people knew me, but I wasn't like the queen bee of the school. I wasn't most popular, but I got along well with a lot of people. So she's like, yeah, clearly she called me an underdog, which I like. I like calling myself an underdog even these days. But yeah, the way she said it, like, I don't know you. So basically, you're a bit of a gamble. I'm familiar with everyone else, but you're like a gamble. And to me, it was like, how, okay, sissy, or quite. And then she's like, anyways, you guys are the top six. I was like, oh, wow. Because I didn't know. We just got called down, but they didn't tell us for what. So I was like, oh, wow, we're the top six. Wow, okay. And then yeah. Anyways, after the induction ceremony, when we're walking out and we're going to have tea and stuff, they usually invite, like, the guests, the parents, to come and have tea in this, like, little foyer that we have. And the principal is there entertaining the guest speaker and the VIP parents. And my parents happen to be VIP parents. I mean, parents of the head prefect, baby. So I'm standing with my dad. Oh, and my brothers were there. I think my younger brother, not my older one. My older one was writing, I think. Yeah, he wasn't a trick. Anyways, my principal approaches my dad and he says, Mr. Kumalo, it's an honor. My name is dot, dot, dot. And then my dad shakes her hand. And then she says to my dad, you must be so proud of your daughter to have brought so much honor to your family. So then my dad's like, excuse me. And then she's like, the principal, you must be so proud of your daughter to have brought so much honor to your family by her becoming head prefect of such a prestigious school. So my dad says, oh, And you must be so honored. This is my dad to my principal. And you must be so honored to have my dear daughter be head prefect at your school. And then my principal did that awkward laugh, you know, that that older white people do. And then I'm like looking at my dad like, what the F is this guy doing? You know, like, bro, we just arrived. Why are you starting drama? And then the head prefect is like, oh, no, the headmaster, the principal is like, how? You know, no, like, what do you mean? And my dad's like, no, you know, it's, you guys should also be kind of privileged to have one of us lead your school. So now it's like a battle of the who should be more honored to be associated with the other. And that's just my dad and that's just my family. Kumalo, without the age, my family is a very big family and we are a very, I don't want to say very, but we are a respected and powerful family. And, you know, so I think my dad was going on that. But the thing is, I don't think my principal knew who the hell we were. So it was just like, okay. Anyways, and then my dad said, I just have one condition for you. And my principal's like, oh, and what is that? Then my dad's like, my condition is if Nokuhle's marks drop, I will pull her out of becoming head prefect. So the principal's like, oh, no, that's not how it works. But I don't think you have anything to worry about. Then my dad's like, listen to me carefully. I'm saying if her marks drop because of her being head prefect, I will pull her out of the role. And then I look at my dad. I'm like, bro, cut the cameras. Like, stop talking. And my principal says, no, Mr. Kawara, that's not how it works. If she's been inducted, she can't pull out. She has to serve her whole term. And then my dad's like, thank you very much. That's all I had to say. Basically, my dad said, end of conversation. I said what I said.
You are listening to Ask Miss K.
I asked him later. I'm like, Baba. And then he's like, nah, relax. I'm like, okay, cool. Whatever. Fast forward from me being inducted. Fast forward to like a couple of months later. I get called via the intercom. I'm in my physics class. Wasn't really strong at physics, guys. I actually did not like physics. That's one of my hardest hurdles, one of my hardest subjects. And I really, really struggled to get an A for physics. Like, I'd always get 78%, 79%. And that's one thing my dad and I used to, like, argue about. And my dad was that type of parent. He knew your potential. So he might have been happy with the 70-something for someone else, but not for me, you know, because he's like, I know you can do it. So my dad would always groom me. And sometimes I hated, like, end of term because I knew, because obviously you know your marks before you get the report. I knew that that number 7, 70-something was going to mess up my report and I was going to have to, like, plead with my dad, you know. But he wasn't ridiculous, but he would always just be like, like, what is it that's going to push you to 80? I don't understand, you know. Anyways, shout out to my dad, though, because eventually at the end of matric, I did walk out with an A. Like, physics hurt me till the end, but at the end, I finally got my A. So shout out to my dad. Intercom comes in during my physics class. Nokuhle Khumalo, please, can you come to the office? I'm like, I'll wait. I excuse myself from my teacher. I say, I'll be right back. I get there and my principal says, hi. And then she tells me that we have a special guest that requires, it's an investor, a sponsor, someone who gives the school money. And they need me as head prefect to give them a tour. So I'm like, I'm in the middle of my physics class right now. So maybe we can do it like during lunch. She's like, no, the guest is actually, like, the guest has arrived, so we need you to do it now. So I say, I really can't, like, I'd really like to, but I really can't because I am in class right now. And then my principal's like, I must remind you, as head prefect, this is one of your duties. And then I said, you see, this is where my dad's influence comes in. This is where my dad's, you know, power comes in. I say, and I must remind you what my dad said. And I must tell you, physics is not really one of my strongest points. So every class of mine counts. I'd really like to finish my lesson. Maybe you can pull me out from a different subject like English. I was very confident in English and Zulu. Then she was just shocked. My principal was honestly flabbergasted that I dare, first of all, speak. Secondly, tell her no. Thirdly, tell her to basically find another time in my diary and I'll do it. So she's like, all right, well, get out. And I left. And then I left. And I was tempted to tell my dad, but I didn't because I knew he might have just called the school and asked, what the fuck? So I didn't tell my dad, but ever since that day, the principal never ever called me to come do random sponsor tours during my school time. Because honestly, my dad sat me down and told me, listen, I know this is what you wanted, but this is not the end. This is not your peak. You still have your matric finals to get through. You still need to go to like varsity, and you know you want a scholarship and all of this. So like, don't get distracted. So I always had that at the back of my mind. Like, becoming head prefect was not the end goal. It was just part of the journey. So I appreciate that my dad had sat me down and like shown me the future. Even though he obviously didn't know what the future held. Anyways,
if you're enjoying this episode of Ask Miss K, please let me know via Instagram, tag me, post it on your story, let me know which part you're enjoying, and maybe just someone else will come and listen. Thank you.
Anyways, I just, you know, thought I'd share that, you know, share how we have different people to influence us for different things. My dad is definitely someone that I find is very influential in my career. And I just, you know, wonder if you guys are also like cognizant of people who play a big part in your lives. And obviously, different things need different people. Like my mom, for example, that lady. My mom is so, so smart. I remember I once saw like, I don't know if it was her certificate, like her thingy, or like the listing of people who are graduating. But I realized my mom graduated cum laude. I'm like, damn, you know. And as someone who had graduated, I knew how tough it was to get cum laude. It wasn't even on my mind. Like, it was not an option for me. I didn't even bother to try, you know, be a top person at UCT. I just wanted to get my degree and leave. So I'm like, yo, hey, my mom, hey. But in her being so smart, my mom is also such a humble person. And there's this thing she used to like to say, and it's in Zulu. She'd like say, "Uzehlise okwentuthwane," which means lower yourself or be on the ground like an ant, which basically means no matter what you've done or who you or where you are or who you are, whatever, always be humble. And I think those words have really carried me through a lot of things. Like, there have been so many times or places where I have entered into new levels where I have remained humble, and my humility has helped me. And guys, I'm obviously not, like, I'm not tooting my own horn here and saying, oh, I'm a humble person for someone who's 1, 2, 3. No, but I'm just saying, there are people who, once they reach a certain level, abathinteki, like you can't touch them, you can't converse with them because they think they're better than you. And I just want to say, you guys must try avoid that, because there is so much to learn from so many different people. And sometimes things just go a lot better just because you are a decent human being. And I'm not saying like we must only befriend people that we think we can benefit from, but I'm just saying there have been so like tiny instances. Like, I'll make an example. When I was in Philadelphia, at the hotel we were staying at, there was this receptionist, super chatty guy, very annoying sometimes, I'm not gonna lie, but you know, just fine, keep the chats, keep them minimal, but you know, greet, how are you, so good to see you, you know, type of thing. When I left, I had to leave the hotel that my company booked me at because it was too expensive, and I was touring and I was gonna come back into the States, so I'm gonna still come back to Philly. So I didn't want to do all my travels with all my suitcases, so I remember I asked him if I could please store my suitcases at the hotel. And guys, there's like this service in America, I don't know if we have it in SA, but there's this service where you can like store your bags but at a fee. And I'd seen it. I was gonna pay like $150 to store my bags for 10 days, which is money I really did not have at the time, okay? So I was like, no, bro, let me just ask. The worst that can happen is he says no, and then I just pay the $150. So I asked, and this guy was like, yeah, sure, not a problem at all. Yeah, and I was like, wow. You see, if I had just, like, undermined him just because he was a receptionist, he might have not allowed me or been so welcoming to me putting my stuff there. And I stored my stuff safely, picked it up 10, 15 days later, and all was good, bruh. But yeah, guys, I think that's the end of this podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. You are listening to hashtag Ask Miss K. I am still around. I don't even want to make promises about posting more frequently. I think I must just stop talking and just do. So you guys will see me. And I just want to leave you with a parting comment, like, you know, be self-aware, be aware of who and what influences you, especially in the digital age that we're living in. A lot of our socials can sometimes get clogged up. So curate your content to stuff that you want to see. You know, like your TikTok is bad. TikTok, you like one baby video and then everything is just babies. So I know it's the same thing with other things. You like one girl in a bikini and that's all you see. So just make sure that you are aware of the things that you are consuming. But yeah, guys, I think that's it. Enjoy the rest of your day. My name is Unokuhle Khumalo, and you are listening to Ask Miss K.